powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
And thanks for joining me. Always love your company and your calls. Head back to your calls very shortly. We've been talking to Martin Pakula, Victorian Sports Minister and Minister for Major Events in Victoria. We'll take more of your calls about that. Things returning, golf returning. Interesting, some dates being named around the world. Every day something seems to change, and we're talking about the Formula One season resuming in Austria, perhaps. There's plans that Austria will be the place that the F1 season will resume. I think the Austrian Grand Prix they're talking about maybe having in June. There's a story in the USA Today saying that the NBA has targeted May 8 as the day that some practice facilities can reopen for individual workouts. So they'll reopen some NBA practice facilities for players to have a scheduled time that they can go in and do their practice there. So, yeah, things are opening up in other countries. I'm just talking about them opening up here in Victoria, but it's just Victoria and Australia and the AFL that's front of mind. But behind it all, there's other sports making some pretty bold plans as well. Andrew Gaze has been good enough to join me for a chat, not necessarily about the NBA returning to train, but about The Last Dance, which has captivated a lot of people, including you, no doubt, Gazer. You stayed up and watched a couple of them again last night. Welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Yeah, it was, again, it's exciting for me. It's riveting because we can reflect back. I can remember a lot of the games and the time that that we were going through, and just the whole revelation, which was Michael Jordan and the way in which that he captured the imagination of the world. And seeing a little bit about what made him tick, it's intriguing. And I don't know if you saw the episode last night, but it was all about, I was just fascinated at how open and candid he was with, particularly when he was talking about Isaiah Thomas and the rivalry they had with the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, I watched the ESPN Bad Boys episode maybe a year and a half ago, and it was an enlightening opportunity to have a look at the Bad Boys and the way the Pistons went about it. For those unaware, tell me about a minute of the Pistons, because Gazy, they had the Jordan rules and they played it harder than any other team has ever played it, and they got away with it.
Yeah, exactly. It was a different era, and that's the thing that with a lot of the people these days, they see the way the game's being played and how you compare it to that era where it was a much, much more physical game. And scores were a little bit lower, and as such, the NBA made a change. And a lot of that was based on what happened in that with the Detroit Pistons and Chuck Daly with their coach. And they started these Jordan rules just about any time he'd leave the air, because they felt like they couldn't beat him when he got off his feet. And any time he went into the paint, that they had to lay some wood on him and be real physical with him. And it got incredibly violent, not just with him, but with the entire league, the way in which they were going about it. And they developed this reputation of just being that real physical team, hence the name Bad Boys. So it was a different time, and it'd be interesting to see how today's players, when you think of the superstars of today, and take nothing away from, because they are extraordinary, but when they had to deal with the type of the physicality that was back in those times, it was a lot different to what it is today.
Is that one thing people forget when they compare LeBron to Jordan? How tough he did it?
For sure. I certainly do. And they do it in different ways. And again, it's very hard to compare. And LeBron is a superstar. I'm not trying to downgrade what LeBron has done, but by the same token, it is a different style of play, and it's one where some of the things that you look back on, and even those clips that we saw yesterday, that they were not even called flagrant fouls, and these days with some of the actions that we saw, they would have been ejected and probably suspended for a couple of games, and in that it was just back then, it was the officials coming in, separating him, and said, "Play on, boys." So it's a lot different, and I think that that in many aspects it's for the better. It did get it started to get really out of hand. Scores were really low because of it. And as such, I think the entertainment value wasn't necessarily aesthetically pleasing as it is these days.
I'm about to open the lines, Gazy. 1-300-736-736. The handshake might be dead in the world of sport, but the fist pump might be the way to go. The elbow bump as a sign of respect for your opponent after games. There was an argument last night. It's an age-old one. Should you actually shake hands or fist pump or acknowledge your opponent after a game, even when your heart's sunk because you've had the worst ever defeat on, you know, game seven of a final series or in a grand final? 1-300-736-736. Is it just a given part of great sportsmanship that you acknowledge your opponent with a fist pump, maybe going forward, or a handshake? And what should the new gesture be? Here's Michael Jordan on not having a piece, any of, Isaiah Thomas's explanation that the handshake just wasn't done in those days.
Whatever he says now, you know it wasn't his true actions then. You know, it's time enough to think about it. Or the reaction of the public that's kind of changed his perspective of it. You can show me anything you want. There's no way you can convince me he wasn't an asshole.
Knowing what we know now and the aftermath of what took place, but during that period of time, that's just not how it was passed. Just wasn't. And you can go back and you can look at any of those old games or whatever. When you lost, you left the floor.
All you got to do is you go back to us losing in game seven. I shook everybody's hand. 2 years in a row, we shook their hands when they beat us. There was a certain respect to the game that we paid to them. That's sportsmanship.
Michael Jordan from The Last Dance last night. And we're about to open the lines. 1-300-736-736. Is he 100% right? Is the handshake or the fist pump going forward something that everybody should do as a sign of respect? How did you read it, Gazy?
Yeah, I actually agree with Michael Jordan and say that I think that it is appropriate at the end of a contest, particularly after a seven-game series where you've gone to war, to say, well, hey, let's keep this in perspective. It is a sign of sportsmanship and respect for your opponent to go there and acknowledge your opponent. And I think you remember back, it would have been maybe 10 years ago in one of the Cleveland series when he was at Cleveland in the early days, and also when it might have been in one of the Miami series when they lost the championship series and LeBron left. He didn't shake hands. He left. And he was ridiculed significantly for that. And I think that from a playing perspective, it's not like you overstate it or you make it a big deal, but I think it should be customary and a way in which you acknowledge your opponent. And I think most sports do it. They certainly do it at the college ranks. And I don't agree with Isaiah to say that wasn't done, particularly after final series. You see it right now. In a regular season game in the NBA, you don't see a lot of it. They just walk off, and I think a lot of that's to try to avoid any sort of interaction or altercation that may have happened during the game. But and when you're playing so many games, perhaps it has a different meaning. But personally, I don't think it's too much to ask to go over and shake the hand of the opponent at the end of the game.
Have you ever had an opponent refuse to shake yours?
No, there hasn't. I mean, there's been times. I remember once that we were playing. It was actually a state league championship game, and Ballarat beat us, caused an upset. And in the euphoria of the situation, they were jumping around, hugging each other, and you sort of wait around a while and you say, well, congratulations, we can shake hands at a later time after that because, you know, you had to get off. So there are certain circumstances where I think that it's a little bit different. But in general, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that at the end of the contest, you congratulate your opponent, you shake their hand and you move on.
Dennis Rodman's interesting because we went through a period of coaching, Gazy, with multiple sports where everybody had to be treated the same. There wasn't one rule for the star and one rule. And yet in some sports, I noticed more so in basketball, maybe because it's a smaller group and it does rely on the big stars, where they're did seem to be more of a want, and Phil Jackson did this, to treat everyone in their own circumstances, individuals. And Dennis Rodman, who wanted a couple of days off to leave in the middle of the season to go and have a party in Vegas, they let him do it. It was intriguing to me, because I did come through a little bit of an era of my sport where everybody had to be treated the same, otherwise there was hell to pay.
Well, that is true, and I can see both sides of it. I think somewhere in the middle there is a balance, and I think that we are all not equal. That is the reality of sport. To suggest that Michael Jordan was to be treated the exact same way as the 14th player on the roster, I think is ridiculous, because they are going through different workloads. There's a whole bunch of different things that you can point to say, well, the training routine that we see is appropriate for Michael Jordan, who's playing 40 minutes a game and getting beaten up every single game, as opposed to the guy who's playing 10 minutes, your training routines are going to be different. And I think if you extrapolate that into the personalities of the players, what makes them tick, and most importantly, how you get the best out of each individual, then of course there's got to be an element of tailoring your program to fit the individual. Now, there are many times where there are some non-negotiables. Punctuality, respect, the way in which you engage with fans. There are certain things that are non-negotiable, but there are also many other things which have to be tailored to the individual, and I completely understand how they made an exception for Dennis Rodman because of his personality and what made him tick.
Did you ever feel a little weird or alienated at all, or looked down on because you wouldn't have a beer ever after a game, Gazy, because you grew up playing in an era where everybody had a beer or something more extreme than that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that extends beyond just what happens in sport when you grow up and you've got your friends, your peer groups that are there. There are certain things that they will engage in, and if you don't, and I guess right now, it's almost like a rite of passage that when you reach a certain age, you've got to go get legless and have a few drinks. Now, provided that's done in a controlled environment and it's appropriate, that's not excessive, you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not opposed to that. But for me, I had made a personal choice that was different to a lot of my teammates at the time. And as such, you're treated differently. But I never felt ostracized because of it. I never felt like, well, I can't be part of the group just because I'm not going to go there and get legless and drink or get involved in other activities that others were doing.
Yeah, I like the emphasis on that, other activities, Gazy, as well. We haven't got time to explore that, but before we do, Larry Kesselman was on this program last week saying that he's full steam ahead for the NBL season. He sounded pretty confident, which was nice for me to hear, but you probably knew that anyway.
Yeah, it is. There's still a lot of uncertainty about when that will be. And I think the biggest issue for a sport like the NBL and basketball, unlike, say, the AFL or cricket or some of the other sports that are out there, basketball, generates its revenue from sponsorship and gate receipts. And if you take away gate receipts, it's very, very difficult for the clubs to function. So I think that it's one that you'd have to look at and say that if there's going to be an extended period of time where you can't have fans at the game, then I think you either have to change the whole model or you've got to continue to pause the season until such a time as you have that, because I don't know how clubs can survive. The owners of these teams are already investing in the game, and it's one of the reasons why the game's been so successful over the last 5 to 10 years. We've got tremendous owners that see the big picture. But you've got to be fair and reasonable to the owners as well and say, well, you know, if the players, even though that they are being very cooperative, taking pay cuts, but when you take away one of the most significant sources of revenue, it's even hard to meet those obligations that the players have sacrificed in order to do it. So there's a balance in there somewhere. But I think it'd be difficult to start the season if there wasn't some level of understanding of when you could come back into the competition where you're going to have fans involved.
No, spot on, Casey. He mentioned exactly that on the program, Larry Kesselman. They were hoping to play a season. They'll start in October, but if all of a sudden it's not until November fans are allowed back, then they might as well just start in November. You're spot on. Great to have a chat to you. Always good to pick your brain, Gazy, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Can't wait, mate. Good on you. Appreciate it, Dwayne.
Andrew Gaze for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Head to a McCafe drive-through and grab your favourite barista-made coffee today. Yeah, Krauts back. Larry Kesselman mentioned it last week. We've been talking to Martin Pakula about it today. And, it's not beyond the realms of possibility in November, December. 6 months is a long, long way away. And a few people planning for the best-case scenario at the moment, not just the worst-case scenario. We're drive-through people at McCafe as well. We're coffee people. Great to have Gazy for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Shaking hands. What's the future of that? And is the fist pump going to do? And should it be compulsory post your competition? 1300 736 736. A few more of your calls, and then we'll have a chat to Sean Higgins after that.